pray. Open, Lord, our ears and hearts. Give us all your word imparts. Amen. Recently, I had some medical tests done. One of them involved pushing a needle into the side of my face and probing around to test some muscles there. Another involved sending electrical shocks into my face. Needless to say, this is not something that I would recommend as a recreational activity, as there was pain involved. But I let them do it anyway. It isn't because I'm a masochist, a person who enjoys pain. I let them do it because I knew there was a good purpose for it. If the purpose is good, most, if not all of us, would allow someone else to inflict pain. We let the doctor do it. We let the dentist do it. We let our coaches force us to run until it hurts. However, are we willing to let God do it? Hebrews 12. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom this father does not discipline? For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. Think of faith as a muscle. If you sit around and don't do anything, your muscles are going to grow weak. And if you keep on doing that, they will eventually waste away, called atrophy. Muscles need to be exercised so that they can become stronger. It's something like that with faith. Faith that is never put to the test is going to grow weak. God warned the children of Israel about this when they entered into the land of Canaan and took it over. He warned them about what could happen when things get nice and smooth and peaceful for them. Beware lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, then you forget the Lord your God. So it can happen to all of us. A faith that is not tested grows weak and stands the risk of wasting away. It is for this reason that God puts us to the test. He sends trouble and sorrow into our lives. Now, the troubles and sorrows do not in themselves strengthen our faith. Muscles cannot grow stronger, even if they're tested, unless those same muscles are also nourished. Our faith also needs nourishment. The food and drink of faith, you know what it is. It is the gospel. It is the means of grace in word and sacrament. And haven't you found in your life that when pain and sorrow come, that's a time that you're more likely to pray, more likely to turn to the Word of God for comfort and encouragement? Well, that's the nourishment then. The test drives you to God and His Word so that the nourishment can help your faith grow stronger. Your faith is challenged, you sense your weakness, and you go to God for help. Imagine what would happen if everything went well for you. No pain, no trouble, no sorrow. You would begin to forget your need for God. Your faith would atrophy. Eventually, if no changes were made, you would collapse into spiritual death, which leads to eternal death. So do not despise the discipline that the Lord sends your way. Do not desire an endlessly peaceful life on earth. That's for heaven. Remember, the Lord disciplines the one whom he loves. And he chastises every son whom he receives. Suffering is not evidence that you have been abandoned by God. Rather, it is evidence that you are loved by God. Is there some suffering in your life? God is putting you to the test. Let your response to this be prayer and the hearing of his word. Then it will turn out the way our text says. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Consider Jesus, who endured great suffering and sorrow, and he endured it because he knew that the outcome would be something wonderful. It would result in the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life for people like you and like me. So in the midst of your suffering, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, on your Savior. He's the one who's going to bring you through your sorrow and onto a joyful end, an eternally joyful end. One of the psalmists was a bit bitter because of his own poverty and suffering. And he was envious of the rich and powerful. So it was, he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Their end is destruction, while the end for the believer is life and everlasting joy. Are you willing to suffer if good is going to come from it? And what if you have to wait until the very end of your life, to see that good? I hope that your answer would be, give me brief sorrow and then eternal joy, rather than brief joy and then eternal sorrow. So lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. The road to glory is one of pain and sorrow, but it is the road to glory. We conclude with hymn 448, verses 1 and 5.